Good morning. We're delighted that you're with us. I want to join Mark in welcoming those who are guests among us. You're very important to us. We're thankful that you're with us. And if we can help you in any way, we hope you'll have enough confidence in us that you'll come to us and say, hey, I need some help. We'll do whatever we can and to help you in your walk with God and your daily struggles, just whatever. We're thankful that you're with us. Hope you come back, be with us anytime that you possibly can. And it's great to see those who are members of the Lord's church. A lot are sick and unable to be with us today. We need to remember those and take notice of them. Be sure we call on them and check in with them, see what we can do to help them in their time of illness. I want to encourage you now, get out your Bible. Oh, if you got one like I do, open it up, 2 Peter chapter 1, just lay it on your lap, because we're going to stay right in 2 Peter chapter 1, basically. If you got one of those devices, then get that thing out, okay, and open it up to 2 Peter chapter 1. While you're finding it, let me encourage you, young people, 5 o'clock this evening, meet me right up here. It seems like it's been a while since, I know it has. I wasn't able to be with you last Sunday evening. It's been a while since we've been together. But meet right up here at 5 o'clock. You parents, be sure you have your children here. Be right up here at 5 o'clock for Kids Connection. We need to do some reviewing. We've been away from it for a couple of weeks. We need to do some reviewing and get ready. Then you'll go to a class. And you're going to be studying from Acts chapter 5 as you're memorizing alphabetically what's in every chapter of the book of Acts. And you're up to Acts chapter 5, and that has to do with escape from jail. I think you need to start it with an E because you're up to 5, but you could even think about it as divine jailbreak, couldn't you? Because God sends an angel to open up that prison. Hey, parents, you study from Acts chapter 5. And as you do and get ready, we'll study the same thing, just in probably a little different way than the children would. But you'll be able to go home and talk to your kids. But as you're reading it this afternoon, just once in a while, the Holy Spirit blesses us with an opportunity to see people who live, their direction in their life is to please men and to please themselves. And then the Holy Spirit contrasts it with men who they are there to please God. Whether it pleases men or pleases them, they're there to please God. And in Acts chapter 5, you get that. The Holy Spirit blesses us with that. I want you to be reading it this afternoon. Be here at 5 o'clock. Have your kids here. We'll all study together from Acts chapter 5. That escape from jail. Acts chapter 5. I want to talk to you this morning about Christian growth. Bible says a lot about it. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his previous letter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2. The apostle Peter there will say, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And then Peter again will say, here where we're studying this morning, add to your faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Christian growth is essential. And I want us to look at three things. I want us to look, number one, at the essentiality of growth. It's essential that we grow. The essentiality of Christian growth. Number two, the purpose of Christian growth. We need to understand why we need to grow. And number three, the elements. And Peter's going to deal with all of those right here in 2 Peter chapter 1. So let's get started with the first one. As we talk about the essentiality of Christian growth in verses 3 through 5. Read it with me. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I want to stop right there. I want you to look at that phrase with me. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Has given unto us all things that pertain to life He's told us how to become a Christian. He's given us the opportunity to become a Christian. And not only has he given us the opportunity to become a Christian, but he's, once we've become a Christian, he's told us how to be everything God would have us to be. Godliness. Life and godliness. But I want you to notice, he doesn't say he will be giving us those things. It will be given to us. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say it's going to be given. It's being given. He doesn't say that. He says it has been given unto us. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I just got antsy and I took out some, I mix up my own potting soil and stuff. I'd mix some up and just tinkering around. And I thought, I'm going to plant some seed. And so I planted some seed. And as soon, and I put it in the warmth of the living room on Beverly's dining room table. She'll complain about it, but she let me. I set it in the warmth of the living room. And I watered those seed in. And, you know, as soon as I saw one of those seed begin to break the soil, I put them under a grow light. And as soon as those seed put forth their true leaves, they come up with two leaves to begin with, and those leaves are providing them with everything they need, the light, and it's able to take in the light and all of that kind of thing. And then everything that plant needs for life to that point is in that seed. But then it put out its true leaves. And once it puts out its true leaves, it's used up all the nutrients that are in that seed. And so I gave it some liquid fertilizer. I'm providing for that plant everything that it needs to survive, to come up, to be what it should be, everything that it needs to survive. God has done that for us. He has given us everything that we need. Everything that we need. Now listen, folks. If he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, it deserves to be asked, what more could he do for you? If he's done everything, if he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, what else do you want him to do for you? He's done everything. He's done everything for you. There's no reason for us not to grow. There's no reason for you not to become a Christian. You say, well, I'd become a Christian if I just knew. He's done everything. He's done everything. It's not up to you. It's not up to me. Only decision I got to make is, am I going to accept his invitation or not? Am I going to become one of his children or not? Because he's done everything to enable me to become one. And once I become one, he's done everything and provided me with everything I need to be everything he intends for me to be. What more could he do for you if he's done everything for you? And the answer is nothing. You have everything you need. There's no reason for us not to grow. Read with me now. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Here's the next phrase that interests me. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us. That word knowledge is an interesting word. The word knowledge usually comes from the Greek word gnosis. In fact, if we were reading from our Greek New Testament, and you're reading from the Greek New Testament, when you get down into verse number 5, you see the word knowledge in verse number 5? That's the Greek word gnosis. You see the word knowledge in verse number 6? That's the Greek word gnosis. But here in verse number 3, it's the Greek word epignosis. And the word means knowledge toward an object. As I get to know my God, he's the object. As I get to know more and more and more, through studying his word, through meditating upon his will for my life, as I get to know more and more and more about my God, It's knowledge toward God. But the word means ever maturing. So as you study, as you meditate upon our God, you're ever maturing. But the word also carries with the idea, but never being matured. So you're ever growing. There's never going to come a time. Well, I've been a Christian. You say, well, I've been a Christian 60 years. Good on you. You got growing to do, don't you? Well, I've been a Christian 2 years. Good. Wonderful. Is there any growth you need to do? Yes. Yes. So I can stand here in front of Christians and I can tell you, I'm looking into the faces of people that need to grow. Christian growth is essential. We're talking now about the essentiality of Christian growth. Watch now. Through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. That by these, the things He's going to talk to us about, these great and precious promises that have been given unto us, we're going to look at some of them, but these great and precious promises, that you grow and certain things are going to happen, certain things are going to be true. And by these, you'll become partakers of the divine, of the divine nature. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to become gods. That's not the idea. We're never going to become God. But as we grow, as we do the things that we're going to look at, as we do these things, we're going to become more and more and more like our God. Is that not interesting to you? That's interesting to me. And He's given me everything I need in order for that to happen. So read with me now. Verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. There it is. Here's the next phrase. Add to your faith. We're talking about the essentiality of growth. This is not a suggestion. This is not something, you know, you ought to do if you had time. No. Notice what He says. Give diligence. And that word diligence means eagerness, zeal, enthusiasm, putting effort into it. He'll say it again down in verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, giving all diligence, make your calling and election sure. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 24, Jesus said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Put forth effort. That's what He's saying. Put forth effort. Listen, I don't say this to hurt our feelings. But you deserve to be told the truth. Listen to me. Look right up here at me, church. If your Christian life is costing you nothing, if your Christian life, there is no effort in it, there's no work in it, there is no diligence put forth, you're not doing it right. There is work to do. There is effort to be put forth. Because it is essential that you grow. That's what we're talking about. That's point number one. The essentiality of growth. You have everything you need. There's no excuse. No excuse. You have everything that you need. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have everything you need to grow. So grow. Add to your faith. That's point number one. Look with me at point number two. The purpose of growth. From verses 8 and 9. Let me just read verses 8 and 9 to you. And if these things be in you and abound, the things we're going to talk about in the third point, If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind, he can't see afar off, and he's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. As we begin this, thinking about the purpose of growth, I want to deal with first some misconceptions about growth. Let me just deal with two very quickly. Some misconceptions about growth. Misconception number one is this, that Christian growth is not necessarily connected to the fact of my salvation or to yours. Listen to what I'm saying. Christian growth is not necessarily connected to the fact of your salvation or my salvation. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, the verse I'm headed toward is verse 10. But sometimes you got to read ahead and read below, right? To get the context. In verse number 9, he says that Jesus Christ, that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're complete in him who is the head. That's what he's going to say in verse 10. In verse 11, 12, 13, he's going to say, after all, you've been circumcised with a circumcision without hands, buried with him in baptism, wherein you're raised by the same power but in the same likeness that God raised up Jesus. You've been raised. The old body of sin has been cut off by faith of the operation of God. You've been raised. He's talking to people who are Christians, and I want you to look back at verse number 10. He says, but you are complete in Christ. Now, if you've been baptized into Christ, where are you? You're in Christ, aren't you? And you're complete in Christ. Now, listen, if you're complete, can you get any more complete? No. No. Listen, folks, we don't grow in hopes that God is going to save us. That would be equivalent to earning our salvation, wouldn't it? And we don't believe that. We don't earn our salvation. We don't grow so that God will save us. No, we're saved because we're in Christ. We're complete in Christ. Listen, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's fact, folks. That's fact. If you're in Christ, you are complete. You're complete. If you're in Christ, you are a new creature. We're not growing now in order to earn our salvation. We're not going to ever grow enough. We can't grow enough so that, and sometimes I think that's the idea that somehow, well, I want to grow enough so that when I die or when Jesus comes back, I can say, God, give me heaven. You can't deny it to me. I deserve it. No. You'll never deserve heaven. You'll never deserve it. You can't do enough to deserve it. Thank God you're complete in Christ. You with me? You're complete because you're in Christ. That's misconception number one. Misconception number two is that growing is not necessarily connected to the love of God. Think with me. Growing is not necessarily connected to the love of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Perhaps for a good man, someone might die. Maybe for a just man, you could find someone who would die. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. How much did Christ love you before you ever became a Christian? While you were still a sinner outside of Christ, how much did he love you? He couldn't have loved you more. He gave the ultimate, didn't he? He gave his son. That's John 3:16 love, isn't it? He loved you as much as he's ever going to love you when you were a sinner. So we don't grow, well, I want to grow more so God will love me more. God loves you now as much as he's ever going to love you. God is love, isn't he? He is love. He's the ultimate of love. So we're not talking about growing so that God will love us more. We're not talking about growing so that God owes us heaven. Those are misconceptions. You say, well, then why grow? Why worry about this? Let's close this thing down and go home and watch the new football league, right? Why grow? Well, there are some reasons, folks. There are some reasons. There is a purpose for us growing. Purpose number one is that growing sustains me. Now, what I mean for that is this. Growing keeps me from dying. Folks, that's just a law. You're either growing or you're dying. Now, folks, that's just a law. And growing sustains me. Growing keeps me from dying. I need to grow. You need to grow. Why? To keep from dying. Let me remind you. Remember Luke chapter 8? Jesus tells the parable of a sower who went out to sow seed. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell among thorns and some fell on good ground. It's the stony ground I want to call your attention to. You remember the disciples asked him about this. He said, and Jesus tells them, here's what it means. Some fell on the stony ground. That fell among the stones. He said, it took root. It took root. But as soon as trials came, as soon as difficulties came, as soon as the sun came out, it withered and it died. That's what can happen to me. If I don't grow, if I don't put down good, strong roots, I'm going to die. You're going to die. Let's see if I can illustrate it for you. Let's suppose, here's a guy, and he becomes a Christian. He becomes a child of God. And he goes to work, and those people, they notice some changes in him, but, they don't know exactly what it is. In fact, look back with me, and hold your finger here, right here in 2 Peter chapter 1, and flip back with me into chapter 4 of 1 Peter. Here it is, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. You with me? Chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 3. He says, for in the time past of our life may suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. We lived like they lived. The will of the Gentiles. We walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. Verse 4, wherein they think it strange now. Now they think it's strange. We used to walk like they walk. Now they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, and so they speak evil of you. Well, you got this guy, he's baptized. He's baptized. He goes to work. After work, one of his buddies says, hey, let's go have a beer. Let's go have some drinks. And he says, no, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do that? And he handles it one of two ways, one of them is very dangerous, very dangerous. Well, I'm busy this afternoon. Really, he got nothing to do. He's just ashamed to tell the man he's a Christian, right? And that's dangerous, folks, because Jesus said, if any man is ashamed of me and of my word in this generation, I'll be ashamed of him when I come with my mighty angels. He could possibly handle it like that, but he doesn't handle it like that. He says, well, you see, I've become a Christian. Oh, you've become a Christian, have you? No, now you think you're better. What are they doing to him? They're persecuting him. That's what they're doing. They're persecuting him. It's like the kid at school who his buddies say, hey, come smoke with us. And he says, I can't do that. I can't do that. Why? Well, you see, I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian, huh? Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh. Now listen, if that Christian does not have some roots put down, when that happens, guess what? He's in for a tough time, isn't he? He's in for a difficult time. Folks, I need to grow. You need to grow. Why? Because growth sustains us. It keeps us from dying when that persecution comes. And is it going to come? It's going to come. Isn't it? It's going to come. And so I need to grow. So you need to grow. Growing makes me fruitful in the Lord. We all realize we need to be fruitful. We recognize that. We recognize the Lord expects us to bear fruit. He's the true vine, we're the branches. Every branch that abides in me beareth much fruit. We recognize that. We all want to bear fruit. Well, listen, growing makes me fruitful. Look at verse number 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For if these things be in you and abound, the things we're going to talk about in the third point now, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you be neither barren nor unfruitful. We don't want to be unfruitful, because if he's the branch, excuse me, he's the vine, we're the branch, and a branch brings not forth fruit, what does the husbandman do? He cuts it off, right? We don't want to be barren. We don't want to be unfruitful. We want to be fruitful. Well, when we add these things to our faith, when we grow, it causes us, it makes you to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's just like daylight following dark, folks. It's just like daylight following dark. You don't have to worry about it. Well, am I going to be fruitful? How am I going to be fruitful? Grow. Grow. That's how it is. Grow. And he's given you everything you need now to grow. He's given us as Christians everything we need to grow. And if we'll grow now, if we'll grow, we'll be fruitful in the service of our Lord. It makes me confident. Growing makes me confident that I'm going to heaven. It makes me confident. Listen to it. Well, how you doing? You on your way to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, I hope so. Well, I hope you are too. But you know what? I know so. You say, well, aren't you? We have become so hooked on 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 12. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he also fall. Now, we do need to be aware of falling, right? But the same Bible that says take heed. Don't say it couldn't happen to you. It can happen. But the same Bible that says that says you can know that you are saved. You're complete in Christ. You're a new creature. We can know we're going to heaven. And we can have confidence. Listen to this, verses 10 and 11. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you grow, it just gives you confidence. I am going to heaven. I am. An entrance is going to be provided for me. It's there. It gives me confidence. And growing helps me glorify my God. I quoted for you a while ago 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. I just quoted the first part of that verse. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen. Unto him be glory both now and forever. Amen. As I grow, it helps me glorify my God. Remember Matthew 5:14, you're the light of the world. Let your light therefore so shine among men that they can see your good works and Glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know that, and shall see your good works. That's a parenthetical expression. A parenthetical expression is important now. Don't misunderstand me. But you can just lift that parenthetical expression out and understand the sentence. Listen. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. That's the way it reads. Let your light therefore so shine and glorify your Father who is in heaven. What happens when you let your light shine? You're glorifying God. Others see it? Yes, they do. Do it in front of them. Do it in front of them. But you're glorifying God. And that's what we're all about, aren't we? And it helps me to glorify God. Now I want to just, before we leave this point, I want to just go, just turn it on you just a little bit. If God has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, He wants us to grow, we need to grow, then why aren't some Christians growing? Why aren't they growing? The Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit directing him, tells us why. So if you're one that's not growing, don't wonder. Here's why. Here's why. Look at verse number 9. But he that lacks these things we're going to talk about in the next point. But he that lacks these things is blind. He can't see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Have you ever paid much attention to somebody who has just become a Christian? I mean, it's the real deal with them. They're not just getting wet. I mean, it's the real deal. They come up out of that baptism, and they come up and they're hungry for the Word of God. I mean, you catch them with their Bible and they're studying their Bible. They're asking, what are some good books I can get and to help me read, help me grow? And they're listening to tapes and discs and CDs and all that kind of stuff. Got their devices and all that kind of stuff. They're listening to everything they can listen to. They are growing. They know. Before that moment right there, they were dead in their sins, and they know it. And now they're alive in Christ Jesus, and they're thankful for it. And Peter says that's the way every one of us as Christians ought to be. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't forget how glad you felt. The joy you felt. The excitement you felt to know I've been forgiven. But what happens with some? They forget that they were once purged from their old sins. They forget it. And so they're not interested in growing. There's no enthusiasm anymore. There's no excitement. Hey, let's see if I can illustrate for you. Let's see. Let's suppose you're on one of them passenger jets. You know the kind now that they don't give you. I mean, it's the size of a Kleenex box, the seat is now, folks. And you're on one of those passenger jets, and you say to a man sitting in one of those Kleenex box seats, you say to him, would you like a parachute? Now he's going to look at you, and he's going to say, have you seen the size of this seat? There's not even room for me, much less a parachute. And why would I want a parachute anyway? Well, if I took that parachute, those people over there would laugh me out of this plane. And you said, well, see, there's something you don't understand. This plane's going down. Now, he said, give me my parachute, right? I don't care how small this seat is. I'll take the parachute. And I don't care what those people say about me. They can laugh all they want to. I want the parachute. And there he sits in his parachute. But what if he forgets that the plane's going down? And those people are laughing at him and making fun. And he's uncomfortable. I mean, it's a little uncomfortable, right? Sitting in that seat with that parachute all strapped to you. Oh, I'd be a whole lot more. Takes the parachute off. And Folks, that's what happens to many of us as Christians. We forget this world is going down. Amen? This world is going down. You say, where are you headed? We're headed to Jesus, right? That's where we're headed. We're headed to Jesus. This world is going down. You want a parachute? Oh, you're so thankful for a parachute, aren't you? Just like the boy who come up out of that baptistry. You're so thankful for the parachute. But if you're not careful, you forget this world is going down. And it becomes uncomfortable. I mean, it's not easy being a Christian in this world, is it? It's not easy. And people make fun of you. So you take your parachute off. You forgot. You were once purged from your old sins. Are you growing as a Christian? If you're not, don't wonder why you're not. Don't wonder. The Holy Spirit told you why you're not growing. You've forgotten. You're blind. You can't see. You can't see where you're going. You've forgotten. You were purged from your old sins. That's the purpose of growing. That's number two. Number three. Let's quickly look at the elements. Look at them, verses 5 through 7. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Let me begin by saying, faith is the basis. Everything else is built on faith. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence. It's the proof of things that are not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. And everything else is built on that faith. But now we're going to be adding to our faith. And here are the elements to add to our faith. And as we do, we're growing in what is referred to now as the Christian graces. Add to your faith virtue. Some say, well, that's high moral conduct. And it is. That's the result. But the word comes from a word which means manly. It means courage. Manliness. You remember the young man I talked to you about? Come on, let's have a few beers. Come on, let's go out and smoke. Why do they go for the beers? Why do they go out for the smoke? Why do they cave into the persecution? Why do they do that? Why do you think? No courage. Oh, yeah, you got to have courage to be a Christian. You got to have the courage to say no, and whatever they say to you, they say. If they laugh, they laugh. If they beat you, they beat you. If they kill you, they kill you. Add to your faith courage, manliness, high moral conduct. Here's the way I'm going to live. I'm a child of God. High moral conduct. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. This knowledge just provides us with the direction. It's the word gnosis. And how do we gain it? How do we gain it? It's not hard. It's not hard to understand. Listen to this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some translations render it, give diligence to the word of God. Study. Study. Give diligence. Work at it. It's what provides you with the direction. And there's no need to know the direction if you don't haven't already added the courage to it and say, whatever God says, that's what I'm going to do. See how one's built on the other? Why have a knowledge of God's will if you don't have the courage, if you haven't already taken on, I'm going to have the courage to live this. I'm going to do it. And so you got virtue.
And add to virtue, knowledge. And add to knowledge, temperance.
Self-control. The word means to stay within oneself. To control oneself. How many times have you heard us say, when we've done something, we knew we shouldn't have. Well, I couldn't help it. The truth is, folks, you've got to help it. You've got to control yourself. You must control yourself. You can control yourself. God's given you everything you need that pertains to life and godliness. And you've got to. And so it's temperance, self-control. And we get that through this knowledge, of course, and that's what it's built on. And add to temperance, patience. And patience is steadfastness. That's just staying with it. That's just staying with it. You say, well, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try this for 6 weeks. I'm going to try this for 6 days. Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? You try it for 6 days and see if you can do it. That's not the attitude. That's not your attitude. It's not, I'm going to try this for 6 days, or I'm going to try this for 6 weeks, or I'm going to try this for 6 months, or I'm going to try this for 6 years, or I'm going to try this for 60 years. I'm going to do this from now on. Add, grow, make up your mind. Patience, stick with itness, steadfastness, and add to that patience, godliness. And that's just a deep reverence for God. Respect for Him. When are we going to get through, folks, questioning God? Well, why did God do this? Or how could God allow that? I'll tell you what, folks, if God allowed it, it was right. Amen? You might as well get with me, because I ain't giving up on this. I'm going to teach this till the day I die or the day you fire me. I'm going to tell you, folks, if God did it, it was right. God gets blamed for a lot of things God didn't do. But, folks, if God did it, mark it down. It was right. My God has never made a mistake, and He never will. Impossible. Impossible. And that deep respect for God, a deep reverence for Him, is He is the potter. I'm nothing but the clay. Add that to your life. And to godliness, add brotherly kindness. And that's just this sense of connection to those who are your spiritual family. Paul will talk about it in Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 10 when he says, let love be with sincerity. Let it be the true deal. Let it be the real thing. And then he'll say, in honor, preferring one another. In honor, preferring one another. It's brotherly kindness. It's the kind of kindness that, the next one will deal with that too. And add to that brotherly kindness, charity. And that's another word for love. It's the word agape, folks. It's this agape love. It's the kind of love that God is. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 13 love. It's the kind of love that puts the well-being of others ahead of your own self. I've wondered, how come that one seems to be at the pinnacle? Because they each build on the other. Have you noticed that? Add to your faith virtue. Into virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, then, love, agape. Why is it first? I think, I don't know that I have the answer. I have an answer, folks. I think that it could be because until you've done the others, you're not ready for agape love. You're not ready. If you're not loving your brethren, those who you have the same Father, God, you have the same brother, Jesus Christ. If you're not gonna love your own family, are you gonna love everybody else? Well, you got problems. You got problems there. Notice charity comes after you've added the brotherly kindness. Notice charity becomes after you've added this reverence and respect for God. Notice it's come after self-control. You mean I have to let those people mistreat me? Yeah. You have to let people mistreat you. Yes, you do. I don't believe I'm telling you wrong. You have to. You must. And if you're not going to do that, you're never going to get the agape part right, folks. You're never going to. And so you got these, and they're all built together. They're built one on the other. One on the other. And that's the elements of growth. Now I want to end this lesson with this passage of Scripture. Look at verses 10 and 11. Let this sink in. Take it home with you. And grow. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. You'll never fall. You'll never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. 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 For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a promise. What a promise. What a section of Scripture. That David, remember, everything you need for life and godliness has been provided for you. Through the knowledge. Yeah, you're constantly wanting to grow and wanting to grow and wanting to know more about your God and wanting to know more about your will. And you're always growing, but you're never getting to the point where you're completely mature through the knowledge of Him that called you to grace and virtue. You can be made you'll become a partaker, David, of the divine nature. You're not going to be God. You're going to be like Him, though. You're going to be like Him. So add to your faith. Add to your faith. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And if you do, you'll have made your calling and your election sure. And an entrance, David, will be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for you. And that's what I want for everyone else. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you know you're among people who want you to enjoy that promise just like we do. We'll help you become a Christian this morning. If you're here, you're a Christian, a child of God, and you need our help with prayers and strength and encouragement or anything else, we're family. We help one another. We help one another. So if you're here this morning, you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ. You make your way to the front. We'll help you with those needs. In whatever way that we can, you come as together we stand and sing.